afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
And I'm the concert wife, Suzanne Dillingham.
And we are not in person. We are on Zoom, but we will be in person soon, correct, Suzanne?
Yes. Anytime we do the next one will definitely be in person. This one would have been if the timing had just been a little bit different.
You're busy.
I've been on vacation for the last couple of weeks, but for some reason it didn't seem like it. And it went by way too fast, and I have to go back to work tomorrow. So driving otherwise, down there and back would have been a little too much for me.
Yeah. Otherwise, you were going to drive down from Pismo Beach, and we were going to do this in person.
Yes.
Well,
it's we're vaccinated.
That's right. We're fully vaxxed, as they say. And we haven't seen each other in person for how long?
Well, I have no idea.
It's been a long time.
It couldn't have been. Was it the concert? The Who concert?
Maybe. I mean, that's a long time.
That's a long time.
But it went by quickly. It doesn't seem like that long.
Yeah. I don't know where. Not only did last year's somehow went by quickly, but this one is going even faster.
Yeah, I know. It's May. That's crazy.
It's the end of May. It's
the end of May.
I mean, my God.
It's the end of days.
I hope.
The end God, of May.
I hope.
So how are things? Because Suzanne, you are one of our essential workers. You're a frontline worker. You're in the emergency room.
I do work in the emergency room.
Now I had to wear my mask on an airplane a couple weeks ago from like 6:30 in the morning till 10 at night. And it drove me insane. I can't imagine how that must be for you on a daily basis.
So it's gotten a little bit, they've eased up a little bit now because of the vaccinations so we don't have to wear an N95, which is a thicker mask, and it's awful. And for a long time, we were wearing that for our entire shift, basically.
And did you ever get used to it?
No, you don't get used to it. And it's never going to be comfortable. And I swear, I'm wondering what is going to be the repercussions of wearing that particular mask for that many hours, that many days in a row for almost a year. Honestly, my hospital, we didn't see nearly what the big cities did, not even close. So I can't complain. I mean, it was bad, but it wasn't COVID bad. It was people bad, you know, I mean, really brought out the worst in a lot of people.
Yeah. The worst in a lot of people. That's sad.
I know. Sad. Well, it's difficult. You're telling people they can't go see their loved ones and things like that. But, you know, again, it was like, hey, this is a different circumstance. I'm not doing it just to be rude.
Right.
You know, this is a protection thing, but you know, there were people I wouldn't let family in to see their loved one who's passing away. And, you know, some people understood, and then some people were literally threatening me, and
that's great.
Like, I don't know what you want me to do.
I know. So, I mean, but look, that was a difficult position for you to be in though.
It was a difficult position for any of us to be in. And that position's still there where you're trying to tell people where to go. And I don't know.
Yeah.
It just hasn't gotten, it actually, even with it loosened, the restrictions being loosened, it's almost like it's worse. It was easier when you just said nobody can come in.
It was easier when you could just be strict and say no. Yes. No means no. Yeah. Now we're like in this.
To say this, I haven't get in trouble for all of this, but I'm at a point where I'm no hero. I promise you that. You can put that sign outside the hospital all you want. I bitched and moaned for an entire year. Well, I did my job. I did what I needed, you know, and I did what I needed to do. And I did my best for people and helped people. Yeah. But I didn't, you know, I wasn't dancing out of the ER after my shift every night.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's an extreme circumstance. So it's the most extreme circumstance you could be put in as a nurse. Correct?
Yeah. I mean, probably I would assume
one
so,
of them,
you know? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I mean, again, there's my bigger thing was there's a lot of, I don't even want to get in. It's not funny.
All right.
This is funny.
Well, look, we applaud you, and you might say you're not a hero, but we appreciate all that you do and all that doctors and nurses and everyone did and are still doing, and people who gave us the vaccinations, and you know, we appreciate it. So just a thank you, even though you don't want to be a hero.
Oh, well, you're welcome.
What would be your hero name? Would you be Captain Cranky?
I'm more of a Captain Curmudgeon now. I mean, I'm 50 now. I just turned 50. Well, and I'm every bit of just like,
club.
Yeah. Welcome, and I'm just like every club. Bit of, I don't care anymore.
All right. Let's tell the people what the topic is. Suzanne and I, we both love Rod Stewart, and we've wanted to do a Rod Stewart episode. But as we started to look through the discography, it's pretty daunting because there are 30 studio albums. So you can't really do that in one episode. So what we're going to do for this part one of Rod Stewart is we're going to focus on the Mercury albums from 1969 to 1974. These are the Rod Stewart solo Mercury releases. We're not going to talk about the Faces, you know, we could, but we're not going to, we're just choosing to just stick with Rod solo. Rod was very much like Phil Collins back then. He would make an album with the Faces and then do a solo album and an album with the Faces and a solo album. And some of the Faces would play on those albums. And he was having quite a career when he first started. So, and these albums are classics. These are so good.
I love it. I love all these albums. And I have to say though, when I was trying to pick my songs, I was like, okay, I only want to pick Rod Stewart songs. Boy, that narrows it down, doesn't it? And I couldn't do it because there were certain songs where I'm like, I just love the way he does this song.
So you're talking about you wanted to pick ones that only he wrote.
Not only him, but that he had some part of writing.
Right. And it's difficult because he does some great covers on these first five albums.
So many covers.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, or just songs written by somebody else, whether they were even for him or, but yeah, I mean, he's really good at picking what he wants to cover.
And this, this era of his career, this is like, you know, in this, then he gets into, you know, in the later 70s, he gets into the disco and having a little bit more fun, but this is really the raw, emotional Rod Stewart. Like this is like classic Rod Stewart. Like if anyone doesn't like, you know, what Rod became later, these are the albums that, that make you still love him. You know what I mean? Even though I love it all. And I know you love it all. But this is artistic Rod, I guess. I don't know. This is just classic stuff.
Yeah. It's classic stuff. It's him picking songs. The cover songs that he wants to do are, I mean, they're not just like, I don't know. I mean, there's Bob Dylan songs and, you know, all these folksy songs and things like that, that he totally, some of them, I didn't even know they're covers.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
he makes them his own.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you know, down the line when he does those standards albums, you know, he's been covering people's music forever. And even though those albums aren't my faves at all.
Mine either.
He really knows how to make a song his own.
These albums, he's in his 20s.
It's crazy.
He's in his 20s doing these songs.
Like if these were the only five albums he ever released, he would still always be regarded as a classic artist. And he would he would get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame strictly on these five albums alone.
Yeah.
Because there's such classic songs on these. So let's do it. Let's get into this.
All right, let's get started.
All right. The first album is from 1969, and it's called An Old Raincoat Won't Ever Let You Down. Now, that's what it was called in the UK. If you lived in the US, it was just called the Rod Stewart album. And the album covers are wildly different. An Old Raincoat Will Never Let You Down. It's almost kind of a, I don't know. It looks like it's a homeless guy chasing a baby. I don't know what to say. It's not a great cover. It's not a good album cover.
So I was rereading his autobiography for this little section of time.
Okay.
And he does not like that cover either. He's like, it wouldn't fly these days.
It's, I don't get it. So then, the album cover in the US, it's literally just
even worse. Nothing. I mean,
it's
at.
Like a mustard color with a nice, what do you call a font like that? This is when I need Kyle. He would know what font that is, but it's just, I don't know. It's like a classic font and that's it. Neither one jumps out at you on the album rack.
Not at all.
But hopefully the songs will. So Suzanne.
Yeah.
You're a hero and a lady.
So I get to go first.
You get to go first.
Yes.
What do you got for me?
So the first song that I picked was, I think they're out of order from the album, but I did it because I can't go with a slow song first. So I picked An Old Raincoat Won't Ever Let You Down, which he did write some of that.
Yes. He's the writer. He's the writer on that song. Yep.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. We're rocking in the Zoom room. We're banging our heads and doing.
I can't not.
Looking silly. When you sent me your list, and I looked at your list, I was like, oh, Suzanne picked all the good ones. What am I going to pick? And then you look at these albums and you're like, oh, there's a lot of good ones left.
Yeah.
So my first song, I picked the first song on the album. It's written by Mick Jagger and Keith Richards. And it's a cover of Street Fighting Man, which the Stones released just the year before. So it's very interesting to cover, you know, like it's a brand new song.
Yeah.
A new song. But Rod does it and he does it pretty well. So this is Street Fighting Man. Ronnie Wood is all over this album on guitar and bass. And there's a story in which Rod asks Mick Jagger to never steal Ronnie away. And of course, Mick
totally
he would never do it.
Yeah.
And of course they do. So that's why Ronnie's in the Stones and not in Rod Stewart's band.
I think he said on this one too that he wanted to do this song because he couldn't understand the words.
Oh,
when the Rolling Stones, when Mick sang it, and he wanted to do it where you could where you could hear the lyrics.
All right. Well, that's cool. I like that. What's your next?
I can understand it better when Rod's singing it.
I can too. I can. I love Rod's so raspy back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's only in his 20s, I wonder how much of that he's putting on. You know what
right. I mean? Yeah.
we've heard him sing a lush ballad where his voice is smooth as silk. So he probably wanted to put a little of that on, you know, probably to sound a little bit maybe like the blues guys that he mm-hmm. And but it works. It
totally works.
The rasp. All right. What's
my second song from this one is Handbags and Glad Rags.
Not written by him,
but I love this song.
I love it too. You can't not pick it. It's written by a guy named Mike Diabo, who plays piano on the song. So shout out to Mike. Let's see if he's alive. I'm going to see if he's still with us. He's still with us, 77 years old.
Right on.
Looks like he's a Associated Acts Manfred Mann. So there you go.
All right.
Little backstory.
A lot of these guys have like other bands that you would know, but yeah. You don't know who these people are.
The song I'm going to play next, there's a guy like that. We'll tell you in a minute, but here's
all right.
Handbags and Glad Rags. Such a great one.
Ever seen a blind man cross the road trying to make the other side? Ever seen a young girl growing old trying to make herself a blind? So what becomes of you, my love? Your granddad had to sweat so you could buy.
Now, I would say of all the songs on this album, this would be the one that probably still shows up in the set list from time to time. It's probably the most popular.
He has such a huge set list that I don't even know.
I know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think if he was going to pull one from this album, it would probably mm-hmm. be that one. That's probably the most well-known song on this album.
Yeah.
Okay, so my next song, and again, this is when albums just, you know, 8 songs, 32 minutes long, in and out, no filler. Let's, you know, don't bore us, get to the chorus, yeah. All that stuff. But I chose a song called I Wouldn't Ever Change a Thing. Written by Rod, and it's got a guy named Keith Emerson on organ. Keith Emerson from Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. Sadly, rock and peace, Keith Emerson. But here's a little nod with I Wouldn't Ever Change a Thing.
I wouldn't change a thing if I could live it all. Sit down and think about what you have, about the friends you used to know. What happened? Where did they all go? Can you remember happy hours spent drinking and thinking we thought we could change the world? And we never, 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 never thought we could get much older there.
That Keith Emerson organ is quite prominent,
right?
It might be too much. He might ruin
it. I don't
know.
I don't think so. Okay. Do you think so?
No, it's a lot though. On my end, it was very loud.
When you know it's him, it makes perfect sense.
So you're saying if it was just Bob Scully on organ, you'd be like, Bob, too much. But because we know him,
it's like, right. Like that's
now the name Bob's. I just made that name up. There's no Bob Scully.
Yeah, I know. But if there was, he wouldn't be.
Oh no.
He's taking over the song.
Yeah, he sucks. Bob's the worst. All right. We're moving on. Now the next album, 1970, Gasoline Alley. I love this album cover.
So do I.
this is, and the next three album covers are really classic looking. They really looked, I don't know if you call it sepia tone or what, but I just love them all. But yeah. And this album is, this is critically acclaimed all over the place. Everyone gives this favorable reviews according to Wikipedia. And yet there's only one, two, three, only three Rod Stewart co-writes on this album. But he picked some great covers.
Yes.
And what do you got from Gasoline Alley? What do you have for us?
Title track, Gasoline Alley.
Written by Rod and Ronnie Wood. I think there's a story in the, well, I'll tell it after this. Gasoline Alley, title track.
I think I know now what's making me sad. It's a unit for my whole backyard. I realized maybe I was wrong to leave. Better swallow up my silly country pride. Going on, running on down the gasoline alley where I started from. Going on, and I'm running on down the gasoline alley where I was born. When the weather's better and the rails unfreeze and the wind don't whistle around my knees, I put on my weather suit and catch a evening train. I'll be home before.
Classic.
So good.
So good. I think in the book, because Rod and Ronnie knew each other since they were teenagers. And I think one day Ronnie came over and they were going to try to write songs. And I think Rod's mom kept checking on them and they weren't doing anything. They just thought you would get in a room and and it would just happen.
It would just come to you.
Yeah. And they were just like, they didn't know what they were doing at all, which is amazing if you think about all the songs that Rod has written since then, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I guess it's something that you, like a muscle, you really have to, you know, work at to get good at. But I mean, I can't even imagine sitting down. What if you and I sit in a room with a tambourine and we're going to write a song? What will we come up with?
I don't know, but we're selling it to Stevie Nicks.
Yeah. You, me, and Bob Scully on keys. Bob Scully. It's going to be great.
He's a legend.
All right. Now the song I picked, it's a cover song, which the Rolling Stones also recorded. It's written by Bobby Womack and his, I assume maybe his wife or sister, Shirley Jean Womack. And it's All Over Now. Here it is. The songs back then had such a live feel when they were recorded. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there's just a part where he just goes, woo, because I think that's just how he was feeling it as he was singing it.
And I think they're all together when they're recording it too.
Yeah, though. It's no one's behind a booth or no one recorded the bass 2 weeks earlier.
You or get somebody's across the country doing their part.
Yeah. No one emailed a file. Yeah. One. Because the studio time, you had to maximize it. So you all had to show up and you had to
produce. And it gives it a whole different sound, doesn't it?
It really does. Talking about songwriting made me think of when I was doing stand-up in Chicago. And my friend Jeff Lucas and a girl I was dating, Marge Takis, we would meet like every Tuesday night at Jeff's apartment to try to write material for each other, you know, in the voice of what we were doing. And we would come with ideas and then the other two would help us flesh it out. So my girlfriend at the time, Marge, she did, her act was mostly blue material. You know, she did dirty stuff. So we would write for Jeff and we would write for me, and then we would always do Marge last. And by then we were punchy and probably drinking a little bit. So like Marge would tell us what her premise would be. And then Jeff would go, yeah. And then you just mime a guy jizzing all over the audience. And she would get so mad because every punchline, he would just go, yeah. And then you take a, then you pretend like you're taking a shit on top of a guy's head. And she would be so, so mad because we literally, we didn't help her at all. We would get our stuff written and then
the worst.
And then we would totally not help Marge at all. And then on the way home, I would have to hear about it in the car. But and
that's
what was
your
worse was, what's worse was we would laugh. Jeff and I would laugh so hard. The madder she would get, the harder we would laugh. And then of course Jeff got to stay at his apartment and I would hear about it.
Yep.
But oh well. Hey, I got that story out of it. That's worth
That's a great story.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Hi, Rock Salad listeners. This is beloved entertainer Hob the Troll here to remind you that my dumb new album, 50 Million Hob Fans Can't Be Found, is available on Bandcamp. You know, Madonna once said, music makes the people come together. But if you still want people to keep their distance, just go to hobthetroll.bandcamp.com and purchase my new album. It also makes the perfect gift for the person in your life who you don't really like too much. That's hobthetroll.bandcamp.com. Do it today!
Now back to the show.
All right, what's your next tune?
My next tune is not written by Rod, but it is Cut Across Shorty.
And he did this, him and Ronnie did this on the Unplugged special. Do you remember the 19 in the 90s?
I vaguely remember it, but it was
I
remember him not being able to sit still.
Oh yeah.
And it was like Unplugged and Seated or something.
Unplugged and Seated, but he
but he could
in
not
trouble.
Yeah.
Probably the coke.
No, he's not a drug guy.
Oh, probably the 7 bottles of wine.
Maybe. No,
that puts you to sleep though, doesn't it?
It depends. I don't know, but I don't think he's, I mean, I know he's a drinker, but
I think he did coke in the 70s.
I think he did too, but I don't think he was much of a drug guy because he didn't smoke and didn't want to do drugs. His thing was women.
Women
and men, a little booze.
That's right.
That's not me saying that.
It's just common knowledge.
That's him. Well, it's common knowledge coming out of his mouth.
Yeah. How great is his autobiography?
It's so good.
It's full of joy because he's never not had the most fun you could have. And he doesn't have regrets about things he's done. He knows that. Yeah, I went through wives and I have a lot of kids, but everything now, all the wives get along and everyone gets along. And
I think that's part of the appeal of him too, you know, just as a fan, it's like, oh, look at that. Somebody who's successful, who's actually
enjoying it
and loves his life and appreciates it.
And he never seemed like a lecherous guy. You know what I mean? He never seemed skeezy or, you know what I mean?
He's Rod.
Yeah, he's Rod Stewart. He just, you know, he likes a drink and a dame, and that's how it's going to be.
There you go. Rocking.
I've told this many times in the show, but I read Pete Townsend's book and his book back to back, and it couldn't be more different. I mean, Pete Townsend just miserable every second, every single page, miserable. So if you ever do that, read Pete's first, and then Rod will pick you right up. All right, here we go. The aforementioned Cut Across Shorty.
Now a country boy named Joey and a city boy named Dan had a pool who could run the fastest to wet Miss Lucy's hand. Something boys that can't
shoulder cut across. You know the shoe that I wore to wear.
I love a story song.
I do too. And I love that bass and I love those drums.
Yep. Let's see who's on this album. Let's mention some people. Rod Stewart, Ronnie Wood, Ronnie Lane, Pete Sears, who would end up in Jefferson Starship, plays bass on Cut Across Shorty, and plays the bass on Cut Across Shorty, and he plays piano on the song I'm going to play next. Kenny Jones is on this album. You know, a lot of great people. I'm giving misinformation, Suzanne. That's not good.
Nobody's going to check it.
You're supposed to be professional.
You can make okay. Whatever you want. Bob Sully.
Scully, actually.
Scully's.
Terrible. We can't even remember his name. He's the worst. Right. So here's another one of those things. The song I'm going to play, it's written by Elton John and Bernie Taupin. It's a song called Country Comfort, which is from Elton John's Tumbleweed Connection album, which also came out in 1970. So Rod doesn't care.
Doesn't care.
No, he
just wants the song. I'm going to put my spin on it.
Yeah, exactly. It's, I mean, how cool is that? You know, I mean, he had to contact these people. Hey, Elton, I love that Country Comfort song. I'm going to record it today. Even though you put it out last week, I'm going to record it.
Okay.
All right. Here it is.
Yeah.
Country Comforts. Country Comforts. Play, damn it.
Soon the ponds will be falling everywhere. Village children always fighting for their share. And the 609 goes roaring down the creek as Parson Lee prepares his service for next week. I saw Grandma yesterday down at the store. Yeah, she's really looking fine, boy. Comforts in my bones, just the sweetest sound my ears have ever known. Just an old-fashioned
theme. Excellent song.
I can see a whole movie in my head when I'm listening to that.
Well, that's because you're wasted.
No, I'm not. I am actually not.
That's because you're wearing that N95 mask. It makes your head go crazy.
There's no way I don't have some sort of chronic lung condition from that thing eventually.
Then can you chew gum under that thing? Are you smelling your own breath all day long?
You can't, after a while, you can't smell anything, taste anything, nothing.
But yeah, you didn't get sick the whole time, right?
I did not get sick. I never got COVID.
Okay.
I had an antibody test when I donated blood at some point in there. And then I did have one COVID test where I wasn't feeling well, but I had been working so many days in a row that I couldn't tell. So I was just like, I have to work another shift. I want to make sure that I'm safe. So they did the test, told me in the morning that it was negative. So I went ahead and went back to work.
So you didn't know if you were exhausted or if you were sick.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I never got like really sick and I had for a long time. And I think I'm pretty sure it's from the mask that I kind of had a chronic cough.
Yeah.
For 6, 7 months, 8 months. But I wasn't sick. You know what I mean? But it was one of those things where you're really trying to hide it because you can't. Every cough,
people
suspect.
Someone's going to turn and give you the skunk eye.
And to be honest, a ton of my coworkers got it.
Yeah. Well, you're around it. It's eventually, it's going to slip in there.
But I'm almost, I don't know where they got it from or how it passed, but I do know that I was out for 2 weeks during the time. And when I came back, they were all off for 2 weeks.
Wow.
Because they all had it. So I was just like, okay, you guys all must have been working together. And this is just, it's just impossible. It's impossible when you're in that close of quarters.
When you get home after, you know, pulling a long shift during this COVID, are you just exhausted or do you get a second wind when you get home and feel good? Or did you just come home and fall in a pile on a chair?
We started changing our scrubs at work and wearing hospital scrubs. So I would wear my own clothes home because initially when I was wearing my own scrubs, everything came off in the garage.
Yeah.
Right into the washer. Then I went into the shower.
Yeah.
And then went to bed. But once I was switching my scrubs at work, I would just come into the house, take my scrubs off, throw them in the laundry, and then take a shower. And I don't think I'll ever not take a shower straight after work. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like there's been shifts where they were slower and nothing was a big deal. This is pre-COVID where you come home, you change your clothes and you go to bed.
This will sound creepy, but could you tell me a little bit more about that shower? That's the kind of joke I can make with Suzanne. Everybody calm down.
Thank you so much. That's the thing. I need you to lighten this up.
Yeah, calm down a little bit, people. My God. All right. So how long is a shift? How long do you work at a time?
12 hours.
Do you get a break for lunch?
Oh, yeah. 30-minute break. So technically 12 and a half hours.
And what do you do? Where do you go during that break?
I think that's where people started passing it because the break room is so small.
Yeah.
You couldn't stay 6 feet away from each other. And if you're eating and without your mask on.
Yeah. And you didn't want to go to your car because you would feel like you had to change.
I wouldn't.
You got in your car.
Yeah, exactly. Because that was one of the things I used to do a lot of times would be go out to my car, listen to a podcast, listen to some music, called Dennis, whatever, you know, just for my 30 minutes, just to get out of the noise and away from the entire workplace just for 30 minutes. Never would I get in my car with those clothes on.
I agree. And then Dennis, your guy, tell everyone what he does. He's also in the thick of things.
Yeah. He's a flight paramedic. So, and he also works on the ambulance.
He goes in a helicopter.
Yeah. So you wanted to talk about being in tight quarters with a COVID patient.
Yeah.
And they transported COVID positive patients. So.
And he was lucky and never got it either.
He never got it.
He's like Tom Cruise in this helicopter. It's fantastic.
I don't know how he does it. I could never work in that cramped space.
I don't even think I could fly in a helicopter for fun.
I know.
It seems.
I always think like it would be cool, but then I'm just like, that seems.
I know. I don't know.
Too tight.
Too tight. No, too thank tight. You. All right. We'll call Dennis a hero then.
He's a hero. I'm no hero.
All right. So we're moving on. Now this, of the five albums we're going to talk about today, this is a stone cold classic album. It's his first platinum album in the US. This is Every Picture Tells a Story. So if I was going to tell you got to buy one of these albums today, it would be Every Picture Tells a Story. Mm-hmm. It's every song is great. It's just fantastic. So
it really is one of the perfect albums.
And again, this is one where you can pick two and I still have tons of songs to pick from.
Yeah.
And one of the songs on this album will be the play out. I'm not going to say what it is. Yeah. You can probably guess. But Suzanne, what's your first song from Every Picture Tells a Story?
Would you have picked this one too if I didn't?
Yeah, this is a great, yeah. It's
This is one of my favorite Rod Stewart songs. Probably my favorite. It's Mandolin Wind.
And this is written by Rod, just Rod. Only Rod.
I mean, come on.
I know. Mandolin Wind.
Chose to stay and keep me warm through the darkest night. nights I've ever known. If the mandolin wind couldn't change a thing, then I know I love ya.
Good. Oh, the snow fell. What do you think? Is there a mandolin in that song? What do you think?
It's hard. If you really listen, you can hear it.
It's in there. Let me see who's on this
Is
album.
Emerson playing that mandolin?
No. Ronnie Wood's on the album. Pete Sears is on the album. Mickey Waller on drums. Andy Pyle, who played with the Kinks, is on bass guitar. Long John Baldry. Kenny Jones is on drums on some songs. Ronnie Lane is on bass. All Rod's mates just come down to the studio and play.
I wonder if I don't know anything about any bands now. I wonder if they ever have this kind of a history from their start to where they end up. You know what I mean? Like, how many of these people are in these other bands that made it? And you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I just think this time period was magical. I just don't know if this happens anymore.
Like, they don't realize that they're actually in a super group right now. When they're making these albums.
Yeah. I mean, Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters work with a lot of different people. So I feel like they are kind of like some people that are on this album. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They seem to love it. They seem to appreciate it. They seem to be honored to work with people that they've idolized. They seem to love working with their peers. I mean, the Foo Fighters for me are still the real deal. And I don't know how you feel about the Foo Fighters.
I love them.
I just call them the Feel Fighters.
I just call them the Foos.
Foos.
Just kidding. I never call them that. Yeah,
I don't call them the Foos.
Do
I?
Would?
I don't That'd think be, so.
It's wrong.
Terrible. All right. I'm going to play the title track written by Rod Stewart and Ronnie Wood. Look, Ronnie Wood didn't need the Rolling Stones. He's co-writing all these great songs with Rod. This is Every Picture Tells a Story. Going to get to the chorus, but it's fantastic.
Love that song.
Yeah, that's a great Love tune. It. I can't believe you didn't pick it.
I know.
There's too many good ones.
I know, there really is, because then this other song is, album, you couldn't go wrong.
It's a Sophie's choice for sure.
Yeah. Plus, I knew you'd pick it.
Yeah.
If I didn't pick it, I was like, man, let me help with that one.
So, Suzanne, who's your favorite band?
Cheap Trick.
Who's your favorite bass player?
Tom Peterson.
Right. So, you know that I got the word today that I might be interviewing him next Wednesday.
I'm so excited. I can't stand it.
I know.
I can't stand it. I feel like I need to be there, but I can't be there.
It's not in person, though. It's through the Zoom.
It doesn't matter.
What would you? Would you sit like right behind me like this?
Just be peeking around your shoulder.
What if I let you in the Zoom room and I just said that you were my producer and you just watched? I'll send you the video.
I know.
I'll send you the video immediately.
It's not the same.
It's not. So I want to show
like
you
something. Going backstage without me. You can't,
I know.
Can't leave me out there.
If it was in person, you would come down because.
Oh, I would totally.
Without a doubt, you would come down. So I'm going to show you something because you and I were on Zoom right now. I want to show you. So when I keep my camera off like this. So right now you can't see me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I interview someone, this is what I do. And then it tells me that they want to be let into the Zoom. And then I let them in. And then I get to take a nice long look at the person before I reveal myself. I get to see what their office is like or what they're wearing and see if they're smiling or what their demeanor is. And then I reveal myself. That's just the thing I do.
What do they do when they don't know that you're...
Well, I've let them in so they know that I'm around.
Oh, okay.
So that's what I do. Because I just like to... I want to take it in. Like, I don't want them to just pop in and then I'm like, oh. Yeah.
It's kind of like you're lurking. You're lurking in your own Zoom meeting.
Well, maybe I lie. Maybe, oh, I didn't see you. Yeah. All right. The next song you're going to play is another classic.
I know. This one is Reason to Believe.
And this is written by Tim Hardin. And this closes out the album. You can't close an album out better. This is such a great song.
If I listen long enough to you, I'd find a way to believe that it's all true. Knowing that you lied straight-faced while I cried, still I look to find a reason to believe.
Now, back in the day, if you were Rod Stewart and you wanted to pick up a lady and you were having trouble, you could just say, oh, I wrote this song about you. Even if you didn't, you just say that. I wrote this about you.
Oh, yeah. Dress off.
I don't think Rod had any trouble, though.
There's one song and I can't remember. I need to find out which album it's from, but you go ahead.
No, it's your turn.
No, that was my song.
Wait a minute.
That was my song, Reason to Believe. Did we pick the same song?
No. That was your song. Yeah, that was your second song. You're right. I just got confused. That happens. All right. So the song I picked is I Know I'm Losing You. I know it's redundant for me to keep saying this is a great song, but I don't know what else to say.
I can't help it, though.
I could say it's a stellar song. I could say it's a spectacular song. I could say this song kicks ass, but really that just means it's a great song.
Exactly. It all boils down to that.
So here we go from 1971. And remember folks, these albums are 69, 70, 71, 72, and then 74 for whatever reason. He needed a break. Probably did a Faces tour or something, but here we go. I Know I'm Losing You. Closing my Zoom window and muting my mic, and that's not because I'm pulling a tube and I'm having a tough allergy day today. So
it totally took me a second, and then I remembered who that
got
was.
It. You got it. I knew you'd eventually get it, but I mute my mic and I close my window because I have to blow my nose, and I'm not gonna let you see that. You've probably seen it in person before, but you're not seeing
it. Thank you.
Yeah, seeing it in the Zoom rooms. Suzanne spent the night here many times, so she's seen my morning ritual of honking like Felix Unger and snorting and all that disgusting nasal stuff. All right, that's a little bit too much information. Let's move on to Never a Dull Moment. This album went gold in the U.S. It's 9 songs, 32 minutes. Let me see some of the players. Again, Ronnie Wood, Ronnie Lane, Mickey Waller, Kenny Jones, Pete Sears. You know, he just, all these same guys, they just get together and they make these great albums. I wonder what the session players made back then. I almost feel like some of them might have done it just for the hang or for free.
Right?
I don't know. It feels like a community. We just want to make
it. I feel like they just made this flat fee.
Right.
And then got screwed out of any royalties.
Screwed out of, because they never thought it was going to sell, you know.
They're just like, well, this is just my job, you know.
Yeah. Although I've never heard of Rod like screwing the band or screwing anyone. You know what I mean?
But that's what I mean. I don't think that it was necessarily they're getting screwed over. I think that was just, maybe that's the way it was. Maybe I don't know. I don't know anything. You should get some session players on and ask them about it.
I should have asked Steve Lukather. All right. Now the song that you picked for your first song, written by Rod Stewart and Ronnie Wood. I would have picked this one, but I'm still not sure how to pronounce it.
So I just can't roll my R's. So I pronounce it Los Paraguayos.
Yeah, that's way better than I would do. And what does that mean? Do you know what that means?
I think it's just from Paraguay.
That's what you think? That's
the people from Paraguay, the Paraguayans.
All right. Well, I love this song so much.
I do too. It's such a jam.
Never a Dull Moment with Rod. Here we go.
Catching a cold, put another chair on the fire, bring a bottle over here, I feel I'm getting old. I like a laugh and a hot bone bath and I own a sense of humor, but if it rains again like it did today, I'm gonna have to leave a little bit sooner.
I can't fade it.
I mean, every once in a while, these lyrics are just like.
Well, wait till we get to. Wait till we get to the next albums after this. It's fun. It's definitely.
You just can't even be mad at it. Why would you? But boy, when you hear it, you're like, you sure don't look like my daughter.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's or tough. You sure do look like my daughter.
Yeah.
But, oh.
Either way, easy, guys. Calm down, guys.
Right. That song. I love that song. I don't care what the lyrics are.
Have you ever, as a young woman, dated an older gentleman, like a guy that was like a lot older than you?
What's a lot? No.
Wait, to where it would be, it would look odd to maybe someone from the outside.
No. Mm-mm.
You've always stayed within your age range.
Less than 10 years.
Yeah.
My ex was like 8 years older than me, 9 years older.
Okay. All right. All right.
But yeah.
Sucked in some wind and had to cough. I've never dated anyone like.
No, I don't like want to date somebody 20 years older than me or.
Like 2 years or three might.
Which, you know, I don't want to act like that's horrible because we're talking about Rod Stewart here.
Right, I know.
You know what I mean? Like.
But I just like someone my own age.
Yeah, I can't.
What are you going to talk about?
Exactly.
Plus, the stuff I talk about is nonsense anyway. My, you know, no one wants to hear about my love of Captain America and Kiss.
Oh, I do.
Did you finish those Marvel movies yet?
Oh, I did.
What was your favorite?
I don't know. I don't like being put on the spot like this because then I have to think about them. And there's so many.
All right. All right. All the
I don't know. I love them all.
All the Captain America movies are solid.
Yes. I didn't dislike any of them.
I do love Infinity War. Oh my God. That snap.
I can't believe how fast we got through those movies. We couldn't stop watching them just back to back.
The thing is, they're really good movies.
Yeah.
They're good.
Yes.
You get invested in the characters. It's not, and those characters, people are sick of hearing me talk about this. Those characters hold dramatic weight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Chris Evans and Chris Hemsworth and Robert Downey Jr. and Josh Brolin as Thanos. They're acting. They're good act. These people are good actors in these movies. Benedict Cumberbatch. Come on.
I love any kind of action thing.
Mm-hmm.
And even when it's superhero stuff, whatever. I love it. I love all of those movies, those Thor movies. And they're funny. They're so funny.
Yeah. They're able to put the humor in there with the action. I don't know how they do it. Infinity War, there's got to be 40 characters and everyone gets their joke. Everyone gets their hero shot. Yep. Everyone gets their team up. Everyone gets their dramatic moment. That's really hard to do when you're writing a screenplay. To juggle.
Well, they nailed it on that man. I don't know. I don't know. I just know I love it.
All right. Well, I'm glad you watched those because they're great. And Rita wanted to watch them from the beginning. So we're in the middle of it right now.
That was how we were trying. I can't remember. I think we were doing it in order of release.
Yes, that's how we do it.
Because the ending always leads into the next one.
Yeah. People.
And I was like, I'm not going to do this weird.
No, I'm not going to do this weird. No, you watch
chronological. Yeah.
It's I think it's more confusing that way.
Yeah, that's not how they were given to you.
Then the movie gives you an end credit sequence that isn't going to be the next movie you're watching. And
I think it's so weird that I guess I don't really like to go to the theater. I never didn't.
Well,
so
then
I never saw them when they came out.
Yeah, well, now maybe you will. Maybe you'll go see Black Widow.
I do want to see that one so bad.
You'll go to the theater. It'll be a date night.
Love that character. Love everything about her.
Yeah, she's great. Okay, my turn. I picked the song that opens the album, written by Rod and Ronnie, and this is called True Blue.
Never been a millionaire, and I tell you, mama, I don't care. Never gonna own a racehorse or a fastback mid-engine Porsche. Don't think I'll own a private jet on the stock exchange. I'm no threat. So won't you help me make up my mind? Don't you think I better get myself back home? Oh yeah.
I also want to note that these last three albums have all had a Bob Dylan cover on them, but I don't think you and I picked any of the Bob Dylan covers, correct?
That's correct.
All right.
I didn't.
Not for any reason. We just didn't.
I think they were just a little slower and some of them.
Yeah. And kind of straightforward. All right. So this next song that you're going to play, I don't even remember this song. So I'm glad you picked it. It's a deep cut.
This one is Italian Girls.
This could be a title fight with the Hall & Oates song called Italian Girls. Should we
title? My next pick. Next time you do one, that's my pick.
I'm going to get this title fight going in a second. You hold on a second.
All right.
Now my mom would say Italian. That's how she would.
Wouldn't
say
be wrong.
Oh. She's an Italian. That's not how you say it, Mom. All right. So here we go. This is Italian Girls by Rod Stewart.
Stand 17.
good keyboard. That's no Bob Scully. That's a great tune.
I love that song.
So
I
we played.
Why would I pick it if I didn't love it?
True. We played all three of the songs that were written by Rod and Woody on that album.
Yeah.
Okay. This is 10 years after that song came out. Hall & Oates released a song called Italian Girls, and here it is.
I see.
Ever hear that song?
I haven't, and I'm probably not going to again.
Now, this is from the H2O album.
Which is weird, but then I probably have heard it because I had that album, and I.
That's I know the one I where they
played it all the way through, but.
That's the album cover. That's the album cover where they stare longingly into each other's eyes.
I know.
They're all sweaty.
Yeah, that's not a title fight. Rod wins that hands down.
Yeah. Do you think Hall & Oates were getting ready to sumo wrestle when that picture was taken?
I don't. There are certain album covers that I just don't understand how they were allowed.
How it got through.
Why would you approve that? Why?
I have no idea. Two sweaty dudes looking at each other.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Doesn't make it. H2O. I mean, okay, I get it. You're covered in water. Good for you.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yep, it's not good. All right. My next song from Never a Dull Moment. This might be in my top five favorite Rod Stewart songs of all time. And this is, and I'm glad you didn't pick it so that I could pick it. This is You Wear It Well.
This hot afternoon, but to settle down and write you a line, I've been meaning to phone you, but from Minnesota, hell, it's been a very long time. You wear it well, a little old fashioned, but that's alright. Well, I suppose you're thinking I bet he's sinking, or he wouldn't get in touch with me. In my head, I sure do want you to know that you wear it well. There ain't a lady in the land so fine. Oh my, remember them Facebook parties, your brother's karate, the all-day rock and
roll. So Rod Stewart wrote that with a guy named Martin Quintenton, and that's the same person that he also wrote Maggie May with. So those two guys write a good song together.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice. All right. We're moving on to our last album. This went so fast today.
I know.
It's sad.
It really is.
It went too fast.
I'm just settling in. My nerves are gone. I'm enjoying this.
I know.
Now we're at the last album.
When we do the next albums, you'll be here in person.
Yes, I'm definitely going to come down.
And
I miss my friends so much. I can't even begin to tell you.
And we miss you too. And I do want to say the next four albums, I think, lend themselves to more comedic talk.
Oh yeah.
For sure.
Oh.
So trust me, that's going to be even more fun than this episode.
I don't know how that's possible. I'm just kidding.
All right, we're moving on to 1974's. This is the last album Rod did for Mercury Records. It's called Smiler. I don't listen to this album much, but it's got some good songs on it.
It's got some good songs, and it's got a real clunker.
I wonder if... When you say a clunker, Suzanne, what...
What were you thinking?
What do you...
Just because you like a song doesn't mean you have to cover it. And it doesn't even sound bad until he... Anyway.
Well, you know what? Let me tell you something.
P-U. It's a seagull stinkaroo.
Before the day I met you, life had been so unkind. But you're the key to my peace of mind. It's you.
It's so terrible. It is so bad.
Why?
That should not exist in the world.
I don't care if that's your favorite song in the whole world. If that's the case, then you need to sing Woman.
Yeah, just sing it.
Just sing the song.
When he says man, it's so bad. Why didn't someone tell him not to do it?
Yeah, this is just for you.
Also, I want to say these last four albums, Rod Stewart also produced these albums. He was listed as producer on. So he must have made so much bank from these four, from these albums. Producer, songwriter, singer.
Singer.
I mean, crazy. And Rod doesn't play any instruments. He's just a singer. He might play guitar. I mean, maybe he writes on guitar.
I've never seen him do it.
But he doesn't do it on stage.
No.
I mean, he must play something in order to write songs, right? Or maybe he just gets the lyrics and the melody in his head and tells the players what he's thinking.
He does. I think he has to be able to play something. Just chords.
Yeah, he has to be. But as far as on stage, he does not pick up an instrument. He is the vocalist.
No, but he'll kick a soccer ball for you.
He'll kick a soccer ball at you, and then he'll say, man. All right, what is the song you chose? Your first song off of Smiler.
My first song is called Sailor.
And again, written by Rod and Ronnie Wood. Sailor. Man.
You ain't gonna get me, honey.
It's a rocker. I like it.
Yeah, those two know how to write a song, I think.
They really do. I wish they would write some songs now.
That would be great.
All right. Yeah, get those.
I mean, they had time.
Yeah, they've had a year.
We've all had time to write an album.
Did you write one?
No.
No, neither did I.
I actually didn't have time.
Yeah, you didn't have time. You're a hero.
I was busy being a hero.
All right, my song, first one from Smiler. We're not counting. You make me feel like a natural man. This is a Farewell, written by Rod Stewart and the aforementioned Martin Quintington. I hope I'm saying his name right. It's a very phonetically, it's Quintington. Sounds like I'm stuttering, but I'm not. Okay. Here we go. This is Farewell.
Farewell, my brother. Please don't stand in my way. I'm going down to that dirty town, no matter what you say. You fooled me and you ruled me and you played in every part. I gotta go. It's no use me staying. Sister, please don't let me see you cry. I'm gonna be a star someday, no matter what they say.
that's it. Farewell. I got kind of mesmerized by it, and I didn't fade it down.
I love that song.
That's a good one. Suzanne, what about your last song?
My last song is not written by Rod Stewart. It is another Elton John. And I think Bernie Taupin, they write everything, right?
It is. And Elton.
But Stewart. I love this version. I actually like it better than Elton.
And Elton plays piano and does vocals on this one.
Yeah. This is Let Me Be Your Car.
All right, here we go.
I may not seem to ideal when you look into my eyes. I don't smoke, I don't tell jokes, I'm not your custom-made size. But baby, let me take you out on the highway for a while. I'll show you where the man in me is where the doors are high. It's cruising in the fast lane, stuck behind the wheel. Jekyll and Hyde going along inside when I'm your automobile. Oh, let me be your car for a while, child. Ship me into gear, I'll be there. Fill me up with five-star gasoline.
Yeah, that is better than Elton's version.
Yeah, I get it's. He does so many covers that it's easy to like a Rod Stewart song better than the original sometimes.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Because he really does take it and make it his, you know?
Yeah, it's but true.
That one is just. Anytime a song can get me, I'm just start dancing, but I'm just in love with it. And that's one of those.
Yep, that's the test. If it's going to make you get up and dance, it works.
This one works.
Elton John is on this album. Paul McCartney does some background vocals on this album. You know, Pete Sears, Ronnie Wood, other people that contributed songs to this album. There's a Chuck Berry song. There's, of course, a Carole King song, Bob Dylan song. Paul McCartney and Linda McCartney wrote a song on this album. And then the song that I'm going to play, my second song from Smiler, is written by Sam Cooke. It's Bring It On Home to Me / You Send Me. And it was difficult to find a place to drop it in, so I did the best I could. Here we go.
This one, you know, darling, you send me. I know that you thrill me. Honest, you do. Honest, you do. Honest, you do. And I want to tell you one thing.
That's a perfect artist for Rod Stewart to cover.
Yeah.
Sam Cooke.
Is there a bad Sam Cooke song? I mean,
no,
that's another, like you're going to nail it with a Sam Cooke song.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not saying he's better than Sam Cooke. Sam Cooke.
No.
But he does a good job.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it.
But no, there's a playout song.
There is a playout song. So it's about a lady.
I named my cat.
You named your cat Maggie May?
I did.
That's I did. Good.
I mean, that cat's long been dead.
But. Just Maggie, or was it Maggie May?
Maggie May.
I love it.
Yeah. And it was from this song. So
I mean, he has a lot of signature songs, but this is probably his first signature song.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
He can't go on stage and not play this.
No.
No.
Oh, could you imagine how disappointing, really? I mean,
what's funny is you would you would be on the drive home and you'd be like, wait, he didn't play Maggie May.
Yeah.
Because he's got,
because he played so many other songs, I mean, that you would, like, almost get lost in it. But
yeah, he's like Elton John and Billy Joel. And some of these guys just have so many songs that, but yeah, he's never not going to play Maggie May. Never, never, never.
Right.
And then let's do a tease. The next time you're here, we are going to cover his last four albums from the 70s, but they're his first four albums for Warner Brothers Records. And those are Atlantic Crossing, because that's named Atlantic Crossing because he actually moved from the UK across the Atlantic to, I think, Southern California. So Atlantic Crossing, A Night on the Town, Footloose and Fancy Free, and Blondes Have More Fun. And maybe because we're only doing four songs, I mean, four albums, maybe we'll pick three songs each from those albums. Because these,
I think that's a good idea.
These songs are filled with, I mean, these albums are filled with great songs, but there's also some questionable taste. So we'll have fun with those too. And if Suzanne picks three good songs, maybe I'll pick three questionable ones. Who knows? But I'm looking forward to covering those songs, and that'll close out the 70s for us. But that'll be our second part of Rod Stewart.
I can't wait.
I can't wait either. So Suzanne, let's tell people what your handle is on Twitter.
Is it at S. Dillingham? I don't know.
You're supposed to know your Twitter handle. Hold on. I will find it because you...
I deleted my Instagram. I've long been off Facebook, and Twitter's the last one that I'm hanging on to.
And why did you delete your Instagram?
Because it's owned by Facebook, and I can't with all of that anymore. And it was just...
I'm going to find it because you like to tweet. You are at S Dillingham, D-I-L-L-I-N-G-H-A-M.
There you go.
At S Dillingham. Stay on Twitter. I need you to like my tweets.
It's the only way I stay in touch with Alexi. So never get me.
Oh, okay. All right. I wondered when Alexi's name would be dropped.
You did it. You did it a long time ago.
I didn't say Alexi this episode.
Yes, you did. You were talking about how even he gets nervous. Or maybe it wasn't in the episode.
That was before we started talking. Now when Alexi listens, he's gonna hear that. Because at the beginning, Suzanne said she was nervous. Like, what are you nervous about?
Edit this out.
I'm not editing it out.
It's gonna delete me off of Twitter.
The first time Alexi was on, he said he was a little nervous. I don't know if he's nervous every time. He certainly is a professional broadcaster.
Well, not just, you gotta drop this now.
Not dropping it. Keeping it in. All right, Suzanne, you can follow Kyle at Kyle Dotson Funny. You can follow Lisa Solak, who now does our Instagram. She is at a la, is it 500? Oh boy, I hope
that's
right.
005. I think so.
At a la 005. How do you know her?
I don't know why I know that.
But you don't know your
own. I might be wrong. It might be 050. I think it's 005.
I think I did it wrong. I'm still not editing any of this out. No way.
I know I'm not. And not mine.
You can follow us at Rock Solid Show. Go to rocksolidpodcast.com for all things about the show. Episodes, t-shirts, Patreon link, all that good stuff. Thank you all for listening. Thank you to the Patreon people for supporting. If you've been listening for 11 years, because at this point we're in our 11th year and you're not throwing down $2 a month, how dare you? How dare you?
I mean, really?
Please. 25 cents an episode? Is that the math? Did I do it right? 50 cents an episode. Whatever it is, it's worth it.
It's totally worth it, actually.
It's worth it. And I'm going to swear, it's worth it, you motherfuckers. All right. I am Pat. That is Suzanne. Suzanne, Concert Wife, thank you so much for doing this. I can't wait till we can see a show together. When are you going to feel comfortable going to a show?
I have no idea. I'm going to just have to get over it and go, but I obviously am only going to go to an outdoor show.
An outdoor event.
I'm not going to go indoor.
Would you go to an outdoor event if it was at a big venue like the Hollywood Bowl? As long as it's outdoor, you're okay.
Yeah, I think I'm okay with that. It's not even a COVID thing. It's not even that I'm worried about getting sick. It's just that I really don't want to be around that many people. I know that's horrible, but I don't.
You only have to talk to me.
I know. Well, I'll do it out. I'll do an outdoor venue.
Well,
I can't be indoors that close to people because I don't know. This whole thing is it really kind of messed with my head too, because I'm used to only being around people completely covered from head to toe.
Right.
You know, so it's like, so when I go out to the grocery store and things like that, I am hypersensitive to people being too close to me, which is, I wouldn't have no problem being around you, being around Schmidt, being around my friends.
I have problems being around Schmidt.
But that I know would not let me come over if they were sick.
Now, this is weird because when we would go to concerts sometimes, you would leave me for a little bit and go into the pit.
I know.
So you're not going to go into the pit anymore?
It's just going to take time, Pat.
Robin,
I'm sure I will.
Robin Zander's. He's on stage. You're not going to go into the pit.
So this is the thing. If they're only playing indoor venues, am I going?
We haven't seen Cheap Trick in so long.
I know. And you know, they're going to tour. So now we have to go.
I think they have a show in July out here.
Okay. I can do it.
All right. Well, look, go online and check it out. All right. That's it. Suzanne, stay safe, healthy, and well.
You too.
And everybody, cause you're not going to hear this. Cause I put the, when we do it on Zoom, I put the play in, play out song in afterwards.
After.
So thank you, Suzanne. You're a hero.
Totally and, not. And but everyone, you're welcome.
Everyone, please enjoy Maggie May.
Meow.
Wake up, Maggie. I think I got something to say. Late September and I really should be back at school. I know I keep you amused, but I feel I'm being used. Oh, Maggie, I couldn't have tried anymore. You led me away from home just to save you from being alone. You stole my in your face really shows your age, but that don't worry me none. In my eyes you're everything. I laughed at all of your jokes, my love, you didn't need to coax. Oh, Maggie, I couldn't have tried. Save you from being alone. You stole my soul, and that's a pain I can do without. All I needed was a friend to lend a guiding hand, but you turned into a lover and mother. What a lover, you wore me out. All you did was wreck my bed, and in the kick me in the head. Oh, Maggie, I couldn't have tried anymore. You led me away from home, cause you didn't wanna be alone. You stole my heart, I couldn't leave you if I tried. Steal my daddy's cue and make a living out of playing pool, or find myself a rock and roll.